Okay, would you like to do an introduction to this week's podcast?
I'm Meg, and this is my podcast, but I've never actually talked about what I do extensively on this podcast. And it's part of a bigger thing, which is my business, the Upspeak Collective. So this week's episode is just going to be talking about the Upspeak Collective and all that I've learned over the past year since starting my small business. Breaking bones that you try to bend. Cry, cry, unforgiven. Some people think they know. Sometimes I think they know. Hey, hey, it's not that simple. Ooh, you girls, you drive me crazy. 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 So the Upspeak Collective is for small business owners, specifically female entrepreneurs, and we support them in a variety of ways, but primarily through web design, brand photography, and business coaching. Business coaching one-on-one, as well as through programs that we offer online.
For example, like who are some of your clients?
Well, they're a super diverse group. They are, yoga teachers, life coaches, nutritionists, therapists, realtors. I would say the majority of our clients are service-based as opposed to product, but we do have plenty of people that do products, that offer products as well. A couple of them have clothing boutiques. I've worked with someone who made crates, in lieu of gift baskets. really, it's every type. I do truly believe that small business is small business and marketing is marketing and sales is sales, and that, we can work with anybody who has a product or service that they want to sell. The majority of them are service-based and they are almost all women.
Is that by design or just by coincidence?
That is by design, yes. I will work with anyone, obviously, but I market specifically to female entrepreneurs because I've discovered that in some ways they are looking for different things, and I try to provide them with those things. So a lot of them are mothers and they are juggling, that kind of age old, like walking the line between being a fully present parent and also being a business owner. They are very heart focused in how they do their work and very people focused, typically over mission in a lot of cases. And obviously those are all kind of stereotypes, but I work with a lot of women and I've got to say there's a lot of similarities in how they do business. So we've kind of become an expert at working with female entrepreneurs.
And how do you get your clients?
Instagram is huge for me and my business in terms of building an audience and then converting those people to clients. Facebook, not so much. I've also gotten really active with my newsletter in recent months, and now it's very much referral-based as well. So a lot of people who worked with us last year are kind of sharing their experience and then friends of theirs being interested. My cat is really interested in sitting on my lap right now. Yeah, so I would say referrals and Instagram if I had to pick two.
And how many active clients does Upspeak Collective service at once? I mean, are we talking 1, 2, 100? I mean, what is the...
It feels like 100, but yeah. It's not 100.
Okay.
I mean, I started with one and then I had two, and it was like a process of a few months before I got like a roster of clients. And then halfway through last year, I was saying that my ideal client load was like 4 clients a month, like 4 active businesses that we were working with in a month. Currently, I think we have maybe 15 that are active over the course of the past year. I'm not 100% sure, but probably close to 50 businesses in terms of either websites, brand photography, coaching, or some combination of those things.
Cool. And can you give us an overview of like a really cool project or a client that you've worked on, someone that you've, sort of take us through you know, like a client life cycle of a neat project you've worked on, something that's been really fun?
Yeah, I love, I just have to stop and say that I love that we didn't do like any intros that are around the two of us. And it's like, I feel like you're just like a random interviewer. In fact, you're my husband and we're like having a conversation about my business right now.
Yeah.
This is like a very professional way that you're being, I feel.
I'm trying to be very professional.
Okay, so the question was discuss a fun experience that I've had.
I said just like what's something that you thought was either not necessarily if fun is what you want to talk about, but something that was fun or satisfying or interesting or just sort of something within a customer life cycle where you got engaged and you were like, wow, that was a neat solution that we at Upspeak provided for them.
Oh my gosh. Every client has like a gift, I feel like, through the experience of working with them. Even if there are challenges, there always seems to be like some aspect of it that's different than anything else we've ever done before and something really special about the process. But I'm having a lot of fun with a client that I have right now who has a small retail boutique, clothing boutique, on the far west side. And when I first, you know, met her, I went to her boutique. I offered her some kind of like off the cuff coaching about her brand, talked her through some of her goals, and she ended up signing up for our VIP program, which is a year long commitment to coaching, branding, sales, all the things with Upspeak. And so we work really closely together, and we've done her website. She's actually painted her store based on my recommendation, changed her logo, changed the name of her store, completely shifted her presence on social media. She says she had one of the best months yet. Like, she closes every January and then starts, you know, reopens in February. And her opening weekend was like one of the best she's ever had. And it's just really satisfying because there's very tangible, you know, there's very tangible progress with her business. Like, she's been in business for 9 years and now she's like openly, willingly shifted all of these things, and we get to track that progress and support her through it. So I like tangible progress. I like business owners who are very open to feedback and willing to action quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, sometimes you get people who want to argue with you every step of the way. Just like, why did you hire a business coach? Because they seem to already have all the answers. Right. And it's just so fun when you work with someone like Jen, who is just super open-minded and collaborative and creative and willing to do all the things, you know, and see her business prosper as a result. That's the stuff I like to do most.
What's the most common thing that someone comes to you with looking for help with?
People want to make money. I mean, the bottom line is everyone wants to be making money if they're not, you know, paying themselves or profiting if they're not, or making more, you know, than what they currently are. The second thing, you know, kind of tied maybe with that is a general sense of disorganization and overwhelm related to their business, just not having efficient, you know, structure within their business to work each week and feel like they're getting anywhere. They feel like they're always playing catch up. Mm-hmm. Or they're caught in just like this landslide of stuff coming at them, finances and social media and web updates and, you know, whatever it is that the world is telling them they need to be focusing on, you know, as small business owners. I feel like we should play a drinking game where every time I say small business owners, like, we do a shot. But where they are kind of like, do I focus on my email campaigns? Should I be posting on Instagram daily? I don't know. Now there's a new Instagram TV situation. Should I be doing that? Like, you know, when you're responsible for making the thing happen and making the thing grow and having it return money and satisfaction to you, you can really, the sky's the limit, which is both exciting and terrifying because it also creates, I think, a sense of like paralysis around all the choices you can make. Mm-hmm. Like, and so a lot of people just start running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to make shit work and being incredibly inefficient in the process. Or, like I always say to people, you're just throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what'll stick. You know, like, I'll try this, I'll try that. And I feel like that's where Upspeak is the, you know, we kind of offer, like, the most in that area and just kind of helping people identify where they're running around and help them strategize and create clear action steps and to-dos toward whatever their goals are. And I think that's hard to do sometimes from the inside looking out. You know, you need someone to come in and see the big picture who doesn't have an emotional attachment to your business. Although I have to say, I do get very emotionally attached to many of the businesses that I work with. Once I get in there, it's hard not to be. But initially, when you're kind of surveying the situation and asking all the questions in your initial call or meeting with someone, you're not attached yet. So you can kind of identify gaps that they might not even see. So, but to answer your question, number one, I want to make more money, and number two, I'm completely overwhelmed and stressed out and inefficient. Help. Those are the two biggest. Make me dance, I want to surrender. Your familiar arms, I remember.
And is the way that you kind of determine where to start just by doing that initial, those initial conversations with them? And every, I would assume that every one of your clients is a little bit different on where to start and how to, are there common starting points for everybody?
I mean, I'm getting to the point now, like, what are we, like 14, 15 months in, yeah, where I feel like I could template it, yeah, to be honest with you. Like, I'm looking at hiring coaches who I would train, who would work, you know, under the Upspeak umbrella and do a lot of the coaching alongside me. And I only can do that now, or even just start to think about it now, because I think I can template it. I think I can create, you know, systems and train people in them. Initially, that wasn't the case, obviously, because initially I wasn't sure. If you work with five business owners, you know, similarities might just be a coincidence, you know. But then over time, you go, okay, we're seeing and dealing with the same stuff over and over and over again. And here's a set of things that for most people will work. We tweak according to the business, obviously, and our analysis of what we see going on. But for the most part, a lot of it can be templated, I think, at this point. And we find out by like that initial call or in-person meeting, depending on what they're doing with us, where we just ask a ton of questions and take notes and then make recommendations about where to go next.
So I know that recently you've sort of tailored your offerings into three different tiers based on the maturity of your customers.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, you know, small business owners are not a one-size-fits-all situation. And I've identified that my dream clients fall into three different categories. So I have affectionately named them the restless dreamer, which is that woman who either has a part-time job or a full-time job, has not yet jumped into starting her own business, but thinks she might want to do that at some point, has a bunch of ideas, skills, passion, whatever, and is still not at the point where they can kind of like say, this is going to be my business. This is what I'm going to sell. This is what I'm going to do. Like, the people who are at the stage I was at a year and a half ago when I sat down with you and we got out the notepad, the post-it notes or whatever, and made the list of what am I good at? What do I want to be doing? What am I attracted to? And essentially created a brand, services, pricing and just like as a starting point, right? And I've always said like everybody needs a Charlie to help them through that. And so we are seeking to be that Charlie presence for our restless dreamers who are in the very beginning stages, do not yet have a business, are in the very beginning stages of starting one. And then level two is, and so what we're offering them is essentially an online course. So it's 4 online Zoom calls over a month period with specific homework each week. So they're with a group of other people and it's kind of a business class where we talk about their vision, their goals, and essentially help them get clarity about how they can take their ideas and all of this passion in their heart and turn it into an actual thing. So that's level one. Level two is amazing. Level two is like the next step for those people. My level two people are called the courageous go-getters. And they're the people who have already taken a leap to start their small business. They might have just started it or they might have had it for a while, but they don't have all the building blocks in place to really truly be successful. So level two offers a brand new website or website refresh, a logo, 3-hour-long photo shoots for brand content, us partnering with them on their social media for 3 months, coaching one-on-one every other week for 12 weeks, so 6 coaching sessions. Like, it basically offers them everything we have, mm-hmm. like a business builder's package.
Yeah.
And that's level two. And that's for all the people that come our way that are like, I want to work with you guys. I don't need, like, and I tell them, oh, well, we do, you know, coaching and we do brand photography and we do websites. And they go, well, how do I get all of those things?
Right.
Right. And this is for them. This is for the people who really want to get serious about being business owners and doing it in a cohesive branded way. And then level three is for the evolving leader. And you are eligible for level three only if you've done levels 1 and 2 and have all of that foundation laid. Or you've been in business for at least 5 years, gross a minimum of 6 figures each year, and have a team, either a team of independent contractors or employees, in which case you would be eligible for level three. And that is a fully customized program where you pay us monthly to do work for you. And we create a scope of work at the beginning based on your needs. And then we partner with you in a very individualized fashion to achieve those goals.
That's great. And so everybody is basically getting what they need and at the level that they need it. So whether you're trying to figure it out or you've figured it out and you're in steady state mode and you just need very customized solutioning, you guys can help.
Exactly. And it took me a long time to really identify that those three groups already existed in my business. They weren't like people I was going after. They already existed. We were already working with them. We were just trying to fit them into different programs and packages as opposed to us creating packages for them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally.
And so that's what we finally just decided to do. And the VIP club, which, like I said earlier, is taking place this whole year, has 10 business owners in it. And we learned that hardcore from the VIP club. This group of 10 women fit into these three categories. It's probably like 3 and 4 and 3, you know, if I split them up in terms of the stages that they're in. Most of them fit into the middle category, I would say, the level two. And then I have 3 of them who are in level three, a couple who, you know, could have benefited from like a level one first even. And so, yeah, just trying to basically take a program that we thought would be perfect for 10 individualized women and then realizing within the first 30 days that we needed to customize for where they were at is kind of what led us to creating these levels.
I knew it once, but I forgot. I'm going through changes now. We want everything but what we've got. I'm going through changes now. Maybe it's too soon under a purple moon, but I'd ride off with you in a big balloon. Changes, rattling cages. I'm going through changes now.
feeling now in year two as energized as you were a year ago?
Oh my God, more so.
Okay. What's keeping you going?
More so in a different way. I mean, in the beginning, it was just all about making it work.
Right.
You know, like, I want this thing so bad. I want to make it work. And for me, throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah.
And just being willing to do that. Being willing to, you know, trial and error, just experimentation 24/7. And that was the motivating factor. And then once it kind of got off of its, I don't know, got on its feet, got off its ass and started like moving and then, you know, jogging and kind of picking up speed, then like now it's for me so much more about making it like as good as it can be, you know, as efficient, as organized, having people on the team who do specialized things really, really well, having me have the work week that I want to have rather than me just working 24/7. Yeah, it's kind of like taking the thing that is working, that I made work through my passion, and turning it into a thing that doesn't burn me out and that, you know, continues to grow and do well. And I mean, it's so cliche, but the thing that got you here isn't the thing that's going to get you there, you know? And so it's that way of kind of going, yeah, the stuff that I was great at last year, probably not going to serve me this coming year or next year. Other people have to take over some of those things that I was clinging to, and I have to shift my focus to other new things, learning new things as we scale and grow. So it's new and exciting, and I kind of feel like it always will be. And if it's not, then I'll just change it so it is.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Where do you want to be in a year, in 5 years, in 20 years?
Oh my God. 20 years is really hard for me. I've done goal coaching with people for years and years and years. Even as a yoga teacher, I would do like goal coaching workshops. And in previous jobs, I would always goal coach my employees. And we would do like a 10-year vision. And I've gotten so far away from that. Like, I have like a 1-year vision at all times and like a maybe 2 or 3 year. But to me, like anything past 3 years feels like never. It's just like way too far out there. So I would say like my 3-year goal would be to be $1 million business, you know, bringing in $1 million a year, to have a podcast where I'm releasing episodes weekly that are contributing, you know, to my viewers and my audience and converting into customers. I would love to have within 3 years, I'd love to have a team of 5 to 10 women who are specializing in all aspects of my business. And I would love to have a physical space, maybe even like a co-work type space, like kind of like The Wing in New York City, where women can come and work, and that it would, and where we could host workshops and events and classes and seminars and like business courses for new business owners, and where, you know, the Upspeak Collective would continue to function in some way like it is now, but within the walls of a co-work space, you know. That's kind of like what I'm hoping for, and I think I believe that we'll get there. Yeah, I do.
Are you ahead of plan right now? On plan? A year in right now, where do you put yourself in terms of where you thought you would be, or okay, where you planned to be?
Yeah, this is really weird to say, but way ahead of plan. Like, when I started Upspeak, I just wanted to replace my day job income. Like, I just wanted to see if I could do that for myself. So I needed to make, and it was just me, and I had, like, no overhead. So I just needed to make $3,333 a month. And that was, like, if I can do that and prove to myself that I could consistently bring that to myself, then, like, I'll resign and I'll do this thing eventually, you know? And that happened really quickly. It happened within the first 3 months after I started my business. And so I did resign at that point. And then I think I made like 5,000 that first month, or 6,000 maybe that first month that I went full time. And then a month or two over the course of the past year, I've had like little slumps. But most of the months I've progressively grown. So as I ended last year, it was like, you know, $18,000, $24,000 in a month kind of a thing. Like, as I was ending the year selling out the VIP program, and now coming into this year, like last month was like an $11,000 month. This month, the goal is 13. Like, I'm actually much more focused on projections now than I ever was last year, because last year, like I said, my mentality was just like, pay the bills and pay me $3,333. That was like what I wanted. And now I'm like, okay, this is going places and I need to catch up with it. So these like low goals of like 5,000 or 8,000, like they're not relevant to where my business is anymore. And that's a really weird thing to like kind of acknowledge and then catch up with, you know?
Yeah.
So, because it's scary. And I think for a lot of, I mean, again, I'm speaking in generalizations and I'll probably get flack for like sexism and stuff, but like, I think in general, women are not encouraged to talk about money. And I know this because I talk to women all the time and we're weird about money. We're weird about talking about it. We feel bad about making it. We don't like, you know, there's a lot, there's this culture of kind of like, well, I'm not doing it for the money is a very common thing that I hear said. I'm not, it's my passion. I'm not doing it for the money. And if you say like, I'm doing it for the money, like, yeah, it's my passion, but also like, it's not my hobby. I'm doing it for the money, you know?
Right.
People kind of like raise their eyebrows a little bit, but I want to be a part of changing that, you know, with my clients and in my circle where we can openly talk about what we're after. And part of that is the money. So I've had to go, yeah, like my business is not, you know, a $3,333 a month business anymore. And by the way, it can't be because I have a lot more expenses. I have a team now that I have to pay. And platforms and that I've invested in and workshops that I throw and like all of those things take money. And so in order for the business to survive, I have to make a lot more. So I would say, you know, 14 months in, the business is way further ahead than I thought it would be when I started the business. But my expectations have grown, you know, as the business has grown.
What is a typical work week look like for you? I mean, you,
I feel like you can answer this question.
Well, I could, but I mean, I think the people listening probably are curious. I mean, with 15 active clients and, you know, multiple people working for you and, you know, being a mom and a wife and everything else, is, I mean, what does work-life balance look like? How do you manage?
Yeah, I mean, I think work-life balance is a myth. You know, it's not a real thing. You'll never achieve perfect balance in any area of your life. So the obsession, you know, with talking about that, I think does a disservice to women. And also, by the way, I don't often hear men having that conversation about their work-life balance. I think they just have, you know, it's work or it's life or it's, I don't know. It's not something, you know, it's, I feel like that conversation is getting old. So it doesn't exist. When you're starting a business, it's going to be your top priority, almost even ahead of your family, to be honest, at times. You know, it's an ebb and a flow, and I think it's getting comfortable with the ebb and the flow. Like, you know, we put a lot of guilt on ourselves when we're in a place of flow. Like, I just worked, you know, a 12 or a 14-hour day, and for me, oftentimes, that means staring at a screen for that whole time or talking on the phone. And you can feel really bad about it. And then you're like, my business wouldn't be where it is right now. I firmly believe this without that work ethic. So is it sustainable? No, but I don't intend on sustaining it. I intend on growing it and making it, you know, sustain me. But in the beginning, when you're growing a small business, like, I just feel like there's no luxury path to that where you get to be like, I'm taking the weekends off. Like, you know, I'm only going to work 6-hour days. Like, I mean, listen, if there is and people are rocking that out there, they need to share their secrets with me, because all I do is work with small business owners and run my own. And I have not seen that yet. That's not a thing. So yeah, I guess to answer the question, like, I'm present to what I need to be present to in the moment. And I hope that everybody will be okay. And if there's a problem, then I address the problem. And my son needs attention, so I'll give that to him. And you need attention, and I'll give that to you. But like, I think there's a general understanding too, like, Meg's growing a business right now and a lot of support around me for that. I mean, I feel a lot of support from my family and friends for that. And an understanding from them that, like, yeah, this is important and is needed right now, and it won't always be this way, you know?
Yeah.
But my work week, how it looks is, like I said, it's a lot of me being on my iPhone. Or, and not my iPhone, now I have a Pixel. Now I'm a Google user. But it's a lot of me being on my laptop and my iPhone. I think there's, like, an idea that there's, like, a lot of coffee dates happening, but that's not the case. I wish I was sitting around in coffee shops doing work. I'd probably get a lot done like that. I work mostly from home and have, you know, usually Monday through Friday have anywhere from 1 to 4 maybe even 5 client meetings, which might be in person or over the phone. And then the rest of the time I am doing back-end stuff like writing blogs and newsletters, writing captions for social media, tons of time spent on creating ads for stories, graphics. So I didn't even know I was going to become a little graphic designer by starting this company, but I have lots of time at photo shoots, editing photos, which is, any photographer knows, the majority of the time is spent on, you know, hours on editing a photo session. So a lot of that. Yeah, I have a standing team meeting every week for 90 minutes. There's some management involved because I do work with a team of people. So, you know, a portion of my time gets, although I have very kind of independent, wonderfully self-motivated people. So it's not like any other management I've ever done in my life where you're constantly following up and micromanaging. It's not like that, but, you know, a fair share of collaboration that goes on, talking things over with the team. Yeah, that's kind of what my work week looks like. I don't know. I mean, like, does that sound right to you? Like, you witness it from the outside looking in. What does it feel like to you?
No, I think that sounds right. I mean, you also, you know, just got back from 5 days in Florida with your best friend. I mean, you do take time off and you do take care of yourself.
And we're going again the first week of April. So right. It's not like I think that I am a bit in ebb right now, honestly. Like, it's, and which is interesting because it's not like the business is ebbing at all. But I think I'm just reclaiming some of my time again, like coming out of a hole after, you know, over a year of heavy, heavy focus.
Yeah.
And just going like, okay, like we just bought a house and we love our house. And so I love to spend time like decorating the house and like taking luxurious bubble baths in my clawfoot tub in the attic and like having movie nights with my son. And like, I just feel like you miss your life, you know, your life when you're in a work hole for a year. So
yeah.
I'm trying to just, you know, invest more, I think, in that stuff and know that, like, the business will be okay.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
What are you so afraid of? Why are you feeling scared? What's the worst that's gonna happen? Standing in the moonlight, I could tell you feel doomed. Though nothing is wrong, no nothing. You say maybe a crane will fall from the sky, maybe a dove will dive and die before your eyes. It's too early to say good night, it's too early to read, it's too early to read by the firelight.
I feel like it's important for small business owners to know that they're not alone in like most of the things that they think and feel on the daily. And most of the time when I speak with them for the first time, they feel they are, right? So like I was doing a workshop at my house a few weeks ago and I said, somebody expressed the fear of running a retreat or a workshop like no one would show up. And she said, you know, I'll never forget when I was in sixth grade, I went to someone's birthday party and no one other than me showed up. And I'll never forget it. And so, like, to this day, now she's in her 30s, and she's like, I'm like, if I put out there, like, hey, come to my retreat or come to my workshop, and no one shows up, like, I have this, like, nobody coming to the party fear. And I just stopped her, and she was the only one in a room of, you know, 8 or 10 women who doesn't currently have a small business. Everybody else did. And I said, I want you to raise your hand if you can relate to that fear. And every single woman in the room raised their hand. And I said to her, here's the deal. You're not alone in that fear. Everyone else jumped anyway. And I feel like that knowledge that you're not alone in the feeling, it's just how you handle the feeling, how you push through it. And small business owners, you know, like, oh, I don't want to talk about money. I hear all the time from women. And just so you know, I'm bad at money. Like in our first meeting, they'll say, like, I'll say, is there anything else I should know about you? And they'll go, well, just so you know, I'm bad at money. I mean, it's like clockwork that they'll say this to me. And I'm like, why do you think you're bad at money? Like, we'll dive into that conversation. But again, we all think we're bad at money. But some of us are going to teach ourselves the tools to get better at money, mm-hmm. and others are just going to, like, hold on to the story, I'm bad at money, right. and never do that work.
Yeah.
So I think that's comforting and also challenging for small business, like, a challenge to small business owners to recognize that there's camaraderie in the fear, but then that we have a personal responsibility to overcome that fear and to get the tools that we need to tackle it. And that's what Upspeak brings to the table, is the tools and the partnership in tackling it, right. you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, most small business owners aren't making what they want to make or profiting at all. Most of them are burnt out. Most of them feel they're bad at money. On and on and on it goes, right? Like, and just knowing, like, I don't have to hide. I don't have to be afraid to voice these fears. I'm not alone in them. Most people feel the same thing. And then find a community where you can voice that stuff. And Upspeak is that community. Like, we're not just a business. We're, like, I mean, it sounds stupid because everyone says that about their business. But truly, like, we're a community. Like, I just did a photo shoot for my website a week ago. And I just randomly texted, like, 8 to 10 of my clients that were just in my phone. It was like, hey, will you come on Sunday? And, you know, it was just a couple of days away to a photo shoot I'm doing. And they all showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they all showed up for me. Yeah. Like, which I think is really humbling and amazing. And they all show up dressed to the nines. You know, my one client, Lisa, like, she's like, I got my grays colored for you at 5:30 this morning. She had, like, made a hair appointment for this photo shoot. And half of them didn't know each other. And by the end of the shoot, they're all exchanging emails and they're friends. And, you know, it's like...
Yeah, I was there. It was amazing.
Yeah. And I feel like Upspeak creates that camaraderie where we all, you know, we're in it together and it's exciting. And it's not just business for us. It's us truly actively trying to lead our dream life and create our dream jobs. And it's not easy to do. You need other people to support you in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like asking for help. People are going to judge you. Like, ask for help. Like, one of the first orders of business when I went full time was to hire. And everybody was like, you're crazy. How do you know you can hire? I mean, I think you were even like, how are you going to be able to pay this person? You know,
right,
it's like,
right.
There's no guarantees that you can pay. And I brought Tessa on. Like, I was like, I'm going full time. I'm bringing Tessa on. Like, instantly, I'm like, we're going to do this together. And then I've had people on my team ever since. And right now I have 3 people on my team all doing different, you know, supporting me in different aspects of the business. And there is no guarantee that I can pay them every month. There's not. I mean, I never took out a business loan. Nobody's getting, you know, there's no investors. There's no, we have to make the money that pays them. And I believe that that's possible and that it's not magic, it's strategy. And I think whatever your dream is, if it's to have a team, to grow your business to a certain level, to get your work week exactly how you want it, like whatever it is, you're not going to get there by magic. It's not like a winning the lotto situation. It's like a figuring out how and then putting in the work to get you there.
One thing I really like about what you do with your customers, and this is, I'm sort of the fly on the wall for a lot of the conversations that you have with your clients, whether it's you're having brunches at our house or you're having phone conversations at the kitchen table or whatever it is that you don't just, you know, you referenced earlier in this conversation about how you could templatize a lot of this stuff, but up to this point, you haven't. You customize so much of what you do, and you teach, and you really, really dig into each person's experience and what they're dealing with and how they're dealing with it and how they individually handle their individual situations. Mm-hmm. And you're a fantastic listener.
Thank you.
And it's you don't just say, you don't just hand them a pamphlet and go do this stuff.
No.
Right. my dad used to say, an idiot with a tool is still an idiot. And so
I love that.
And so it's being able to sit down with someone and talk to them and understand the problem and teach them and mm-hmm. share knowledge and share experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much better than being able to hand them a pamphlet or give them a report or a brochure and be like, good luck, there you go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't serve them and it doesn't serve you. So
yeah,
you're so good at doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I think like another thing too that people ask me now is like, how did you turn a profit so quickly? Like, why is Upspeak successful? And like, I'm not, first of all, the answer is I don't know. I mean, like, the real truth of it is I don't know, and anything I say is just me kind of like hypothesizing. I don't know why it is, but I will say that, you know, one thing that's true is that I don't have a ton of competition in this city. I mean, I do think in a city like Cleveland, you can be a big fish in a small pond, which is what makes it great for small business owners, right? Because if you go to New York City, there's someone on every block doing the thing that you're doing. Like, it's just so much harder to stand out and create a niche. And in Cleveland, that's not necessarily the case. But two, I think the personalization of my brand. I think, like, it's not about my brand. It's more about me as a person and me empowering women and the connection that I make with women.
100%.
That they believe they're my friends because they are my friends. You know what I mean? Like, I build relationships with people. I think other people say that's what they do. I actually build relationships with people.
Yeah.
I mean, my son, I love this, but I hung up with one of my clients and I said, I love you too. And my son, who's six, goes, who was that? And I go, oh, it's Diana. And he goes, you say I love you to your clients? And I was like, well, this one I do. But, I mean, I've been friends with Diana for a long time, but she and I have been working together for, she was one of my first clients, so we've been working together for a year. And, like, we say I love you before we hang up the phone. Like, our relationship is very business-oriented. That's the connection between us. And yet, it's like it's a partnership. It feels like love, you know? And I feel that way with my people. Like, when you look at my website, those women are not models. They're not recruited or paid. They're not models. They're not like, hey, social media, anybody want to come to a photo shoot? Like, the women on my website right now, they're all my clients or they work for me.
Right.
Like, they're real people that I love and I know their business intimately. And I'm supporting them, and they're supporting me, of course. And I, you know, that we're supporting each other. They're paying my bills, and I'm helping support and grow their businesses. So it's, I think that's what it is, the personalization of it. I don't know that everybody wants to get that intimate with their people, and I'm willing.
Yeah, no, and it shows. It definitely shows. I think it's a foundation of what you're doing, and I think it's people that you work with definitely feel it.
Thanks, honey.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking about this.
About my favorite topic.
About your favorite topic.
Anytime, my friend.
Okay.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Upspeak is produced by Meg Witt and Chaz Brannon. Thank you so much for listening. Please head over to iTunes to write a quick review, and maybe I'll read yours at the start of next week's episode. You can find me on Instagram at The Upspeak Collective and on my website, theupspeakcollective.com.